WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Immediately after Trump's second inauguration, we checked in with Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson for his thoughts on the new administration's plans and what they could mean for the city. Here's our conversation. And I should mention, you'll also hear a few questions from our Sun-Times colleague, politics and government reporter Mitch Armantrout.
So, Mayor, after Donald Trump's re-election, I remember you said, quote, Chicagoans can be assured that they have a mayor who will not bend, who will not break when it comes to protecting our city, our values, and our neighbors. You went on to say, when it comes to fighting back against any hate, we will not flinch. Now that Trump's been sworn in, he's our next president. Tell me what those words mean to you today.
Well, what they mean is that the soul of who we are as a city, that soul is comprised of a Haitian immigrant and a Potawatomi woman, a city that has been established through this incredible love story of diversity. And so whether you are an immigrant, a migrant, someone seeking asylum, a descendant of slaves, that this city has been stirred by a very collective, comprehensive experience. And we will remain who we are, regardless of who's in the White House. And so that means we have reaffirmed our commitment to being a sanctuary and a welcoming city. We have reaffirmed our commitment to public education and to environmental justice. We have reaffirmed our commitment to building more affordable homes and investing in our young people and building economic opportunities for working people. And we have certainly reaffirmed our commitment to building a safer Chicago for everyone.
Back on the campaign trail, Trump promised that on day one, he would launch the largest deportation in U.S. history of people who are here illegally. And here's what he said this morning in his inauguration speech.
All illegal entry will immediately be halted, and we will begin the process of returning millions and millions of criminal aliens back to the places from which they came.
Now, this is in direct conflict with what you just alluded to, which is Chicago's welcoming city ordinance that prohibits police from coordinating with federal immigration enforcement. Can you elaborate for us on specific steps that the city's taking beyond the ordinance to proactively protect against this threat of mass deportations?
Well, the law is the strongest affirmation of our commitment to protecting residents in the city of Chicago. You know, we are coordinating with all of our sister agencies and our city departments, including our police department, that we are not going to do the work of the federal government. There are workshops that are being held all over the city for individuals to know their rights. Look, here's the most important thing here, is that as a city, we are comprised of the most diverse group of people, I believe, on the planet, right? Where there are certain sections of the city of Chicago where over 100 different languages are spoken. And so again, we have reaffirmed our commitment to a welcoming city, and all of our sister agencies, whether it's a park, whether it's our schools, they all will adhere to that law. And we're going to continue to organize throughout the city to make sure that people know what their rights are. Look, the last thing that I'll say is that the level of anxiety and fear that is being stoked by this administration is one that we vehemently reject. And it's not just the stoking of division around this particular issue. But keep in mind, here's someone who said that he doesn't believe in public education and privatizing our schools. We know in Chicago has been detrimental and harmful.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe in climate change. We have a rebirth of the Department of the Environment here in Chicago. 20% of the world's fresh water is right in our front yard. So again, it's making sure that law and codification is strengthened, but it's also ensuring that our sister agencies, our departments, and our advocates are working together, from our deputy mayor of safety, my deputy mayor of immigrant, migrants, and refugee rights.
Yeah.
All of that coordination will continue to happen throughout these next 4 years.
You know, you talk about that anxiety and fear around the issue, and I think it's very real, because many of us can remember during his first presidential term when thousands of parents were separated from their kids with no tracking information. And this time around, he's vowed to be more aggressive. And despite leaked reports this weekend that raids would launch tomorrow in Chicago, his border czar, Tom Holman, was saying that they're reconsidering and that decisions haven't actually been made. I mean, how real then does this threat become here to Chicago? And what do you say to migrants worried right now?
Well, I take the president's threats seriously, as we all should, right? Here's someone who has not only threatened the sensibility of our democracy, he is someone that has, you know, created a great deal of anxiety and trepidation around the globe from his, you know, taxation proposition to how he has referred to people groups around the globe, whether you are a Haitian from Haiti, or, you know, Puerto Ricans from Puerto Rico, what he has said about Black folks across the globe. His presentation is certainly not just bombastic in his delivery, but we've seen him carry out some of the most egregious policies as well. And so what we simply are saying to the people of Chicago, if you are an immigrant or a migrant, you're not alone. That a threat to an immigrant or a migrant is just as much of a threat to a Black family on the west side of Chicago who wants education to be guaranteed, you know, or, you know, Asian families who have experienced, you know, anti-Asian sentiment as well as anti-Asian attacks.
Yeah.
That an attack to one group is an attack against all of us. And so this is why the city of Chicago has reaffirmed its position as a welcoming city, because it's not just simply attached to how we see people's arrival to the city. It's about how we experience government in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter who you are and where you come from, being in Chicago, you deserve and you have the earned company of our collective fight for working people.
You also mentioned climate change there. And Mitch, I know that that was top of mind for you.
Right. So it sounds like we're expecting the president to issue an executive order removing the U.S. from the terms of the Paris Climate Accord. This is obviously, you know, a priority of your administration. Does this affect the way you're going to have to approach issues when it comes to, you know, federal grants and things that the city relies on when it comes to crafting your budget?
Well, let me just say, you know, as a city, we know at the beginning of this year, 100% of our public buildings, including both of our airports, will be 100% generated by clean energy, electricity, and reducing our carbon footprint on the planet. We're doing our part in the city of Chicago, equivalent to removing 62,000, I believe, cars from the road a year. And so our commitment to climate justice and environmental justice is still very much real. As far as what this means in terms of how we interact with the federal government, what we have to do as a city, and what we will do and continue to do, is continue to coordinate with our state partners. There are areas where we collectively, the city and the state, can, you know, go after federal dollars, right? Because there are opportunities, you know, for us to continue to expand and strengthen our environmental and climate justice. But you know, the one thing that I do appreciate is that we do have a strong congressional delegation. They've been through this before. You know, whether it's, you know, Senator Durbin, Duckworth, or my congressman, Congressman Danny Davis, My administration will continue to work with the Illinois congressional delegation and the state to continue to push and challenge this incoming administration to pay attention to reality. And the reality of the fact is that whether it's wildfires or extreme cold on the planet, that the global population shift that we are experiencing is one that it's real. So it's incumbent upon us to continue to remain vigilant around climate justice.
Along those lines, Mayor, President Trump said that the U.S.'s new official policy is that there are two genders, male and female. What's your reaction to that, and what's your message to folks in Chicago's transgender community?
Well, we're going to continue to protect our trans community. We know that Black trans women have been a very fierce target for hate. Mm-hmm. You know, one of my former students, just want to give a shout out to Aaliyah, a Black trans woman, someone that I taught when she was in seventh grade. And we're going to continue to stand up and ensure that, you know, all of our families are protected and have access and rights to exist. And, you know, again, particularly our trans community, we're not going to turn our backs on their existence simply because one individual has a very narrow definition of our identities.
Today isn't just Inauguration Day, Mayor Johnson. It is also Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah, thank you. Can we talk about something else?
Well, you began your day at an event, I understand, with Rainbow Push, mm-hmm. Honoring King's legacy. I mean, as we know, he was a unifier, a champion of freedom, truth, equality. And so as we're entering this very different administration, I'm curious, do you think that King's legacy and vision can endure during another Trump administration?
Well, it certainly has endured. And, you know that legacy of Dr. King, and as it relates to the city of Chicago, is, you know, quite profound. You know, he experienced what he described as some of the most vicious racialized attacks, something that he experienced in Chicago that he didn't experience in the Deep South, and fighting for affordable homes. In my administration, we built 3,700 affordable homes, and we put forth the largest investment for affordable homes and economic development. So we are continuing that tradition. Many people know that one of the persons who was a part of the welcoming crew was a person by the name of Al Raby, who was a social studies teacher on the west side of Chicago, like myself. He taught at Marshall High School. He was also Mayor Harold Washington's campaign manager, and fighting for education was a part of his presentation as well. And so we will continue that effort as the first mayor in the history of Chicago to support an elected representative school board, and to support to make sure that our TIF dollars touch every single ward to ensure education justice. Hmm. And youth employment, 29,000 young people will have opportunities for jobs this summer. We expanded that significantly. That's a part of King's legacy. And the last thing that I'll say is, you know, Dr. King was very clear about the three evils, you know, war, poverty, and racism. And so we're going to continue to fight for equity and justice in the spirit of Dr. King. And, you know, even though he died with a 75% disapproval rating, many people forget that. To your point, he worked hard and literally died to unite our country and the city of Chicago. We are certainly united around education and youth employment and behavioral and mental health services, where we opened up a mental health clinic that was closed. We're committed to environmental justice. These are the matters in which Dr. King wanted to unite the people of the globe around, and the city of Chicago, of course, in his honor. We will maintain and continue to grow that collective struggle to unite people around those ideas.
Let's hear what President Trump also had to say about Martin Luther King.
To the Black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it. I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor, but in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true.
How does it feel to hear him say those words?
Well, you know, look, you know, Dr. King was very clear about, again, the enemies of the planet, racism, you know, war and poverty, that the only way we can keep his dream alive is to ensure that we are addressing the crisis of homelessness and lack of affordability. It's not going to be enough for someone to simply, you know, offer up a platitude or the recognition of a particular day. You know, here in Chicago, we put forth an entire platform around reparations, a platform to grow small businesses, over 500 over the next 5 years to grow those businesses. And we put $625 million behind that effort. And so, you know, in Dr. King's honor and his legacy, even he had to sit down with individuals who vehemently opposed his existence. Mm-hmm. And the city of Chicago is prepared to sit down with anyone who is absolutely clear about investing real dollars, the way we're doing it in Chicago. The way you actually demonstrate your commitment to Dr. King is that you have to speak to these matters the way the scriptures have challenged us. Jesus the Christ said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's Matthew 6 and 21. And so if the president is truly convicted by the legacy of Dr. King, he will follow in the footsteps of the one that he claimed to put him in this position, is that he has to show up with his treasure.
I want to go back to those sweeping executive orders that he's expected to sign today and touch back on that mass deportation topic, because it's a heavy one on lots of our minds. Governor Pritzker has also promised undocumented immigrants in Illinois that they would be safe. He shares some similar concerns to the ones that you have, Mayor. Have you talked with the governor on this topic? Is there any coordination that's happening between your offices?
There is. In fact, we spoke yesterday. And again, happy birthday, Governor. His birthday was yesterday, and had a chance to talk to him yesterday, called him directly. And, you know, I'm grateful of the partnership that we have with the state of Illinois, the complementary law that the state of Illinois has that supports our welcoming city ordinance is one that is, again, a shared value. What we will continue to do, and this is also what we will continue to do, is to coordinate and collaborate with the state, but we're also collaborating and coordinating with the county government as well. As you, many of your listeners know, the city of Chicago's mayors have not always gotten along with the county board president or the governor. That's a different scenario for me. I'm grateful to have their partnership. And whether it's, again, making sure that people know their rights, making sure that people understand that there are laws that protect their existence, and we will continue to maintain, you know, those laws and strengthen them, that absolutely it's going to take all of us to build an economy that works for everyone. And building a strong economy starts by ensuring that working people, undocumented families, know that the story of Chicago, the true love story of Chicago, of immigrants, migrants, asylum seekers, descendants of slaves from all over the globe have come to the city of Chicago as a resting place. And that's what makes us the tremendous love story of the globe.
Mayor, I'm curious, can you describe, you know, what was communication like with the Biden administration? And, you know, how are you going to approach working with the Trump administration? I mean, has your office reached out yet to anyone in the Trump's administration? And how do you plan to sort of offer a hand?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my communication with the Biden administration was absolutely strong. The $432 million that we secured from the federal government to respond to climate change, those families that experienced flooding within the first 6 weeks of my administration with the downpouring of the rain, the torrential rainfall. And so families on the west side who've been waiting for support, we've been able to provide some support. But now with those additional dollars from the federal government that we fought for, we'll be able to help more families on the west side of Chicago in particular, but some families who experienced flooding on the south side as well. Closing the deal on the Red Line extension, that was a major accomplishment. And we got that done with the Biden administration. So from his senior advisor, Tom Perez, to his chief of staff and other, you know, critical leaders within his department, had strong relationships with multiple secretaries. I think our approach here, the way we will approach this administration, will be, you know, very intentional around what our desires and our needs are for the city of Chicago. And so, you know, we do know that there are strong relationships, though, that some of our congressional leaders do have across the aisle. And we're gonna, you know, lean on those leaders. I've had great conversations with Congressman Quigley, of course, great conversations with my own Congressman Davis, who's been there for a very long time, and Senator Durbin. I mean, these are individuals that are incredibly skilled. We have a strong IGA team in D.C. And then finally, we have a strong network of mayors across the country. I just returned from D.C. Yesterday. I spent a day with the U.S. Conference of Mayors. So Democratic mayors and Republican mayors, our issues are the same. Whether you're running a red city or a blue city, people know their mayor. They may not always know who their state representative is or you know, other elected offices, but they do know who their mayor is. And so there are collective asks that we have as a conference of mayors around economic development and housing. I chair the national committee around behavior and mental health services, and blue cities and red cities are dealing with behavior and mental health, the lack of behavioral mental health services. But we're also, you know, very clear about community safety. And whether you are in a blue city or red city, many people don't know this, you know, some of your most violent cities are in red states per capita, right? Mm-hmm. And so the challenges that we have in blue cities and red cities are very much alike. And so that's going to be my approach. You know, look, I'm an organizer at heart. So organizing with our congressional delegation, organizing with mayors across the city, and then being very clear about the opportunities that the Trump administration can have in our city around economic development and community safety in a full force of government way. That's what my approach is going to be. I'm always going to fight and stand up for our values, because the city of Chicago, really, we will always remain firm and stand firm on our values regardless of who's in the White House.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, I want to just zoom out and look at something globally. Yesterday, a ceasefire deal went into effect between Israel and Hamas, and some hostages were freed in Gaza and from Israeli prisons. Nearly a year ago, almost to the date, you broke the tie within city council calling for a ceasefire resolution. You got a lot of flack for it as well, Mayor. And Alderwoman Deborah Silverstein said that the move, quote, weakened the Biden administration, which had resisted calls for a ceasefire. So now we're a year later, we're seeing Biden and Trump almost fight for credit on who got this deal through. What does that make you think of?
Well, first of all, I'm grateful and I'm relieved that, you know, the hostages, or at least they're starting the process of releasing hostages, and that the ceasefire is something that we were able to actually see come to fruition. You know, the October 7th attacks, and the October 7th attack was brutal, heinous, and it was a terrorist attack. And we were one of the first city councils to condemn those attacks. And we did that emphatically. And we were the first major city to call for the releasing of hostages and for a ceasefire, very much aligned with what the United Nations was calling for.
That's right.
I'm grateful that this is happening, particularly as we honor the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who is very vocal in his opposition to the Vietnam War, that Chicago has a long history of standing firm on our collective values. And Chicago has led the way in many different fronts. And whether it's taking strong moral positions like calling for an end to war, or the discovery of electricity just right here in this neighborhood where electricity came to life, or whether it's the steel mills, right, building the skyscrapers where we now have a brand new industry, a multi-billion dollar industry on the southeast side of Chicago. I am proud to represent a city who understands its position globally. And we're grateful to the people who stood firm with us, and we're grateful that we can see an end, prayerfully, to the loss of life, and that, you know, lives can be returned back to their loved ones. So our position has always been clear, and we will continue to stand up for justice.
As Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, Mayor, thank you so much for making the time.
You're welcome. Thank you all. Happy New Year, everyone.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Meha Ahmed and Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. To catch the most pressing issues of today discussed with the leaders, experts, and the people of Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast so that you never miss a conversation. Or you can visit WBEZ.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.